Congressman Mike Bost is on the line. Mike, how you been, man?
Hey, good. Tom. I'm good. We're busy. We're doing a lot of work. We're working on the we'll probably have the farm bill markup this week, we'll actually move the farm bill out of the House this week. We're working in transportation on what's known as the WOTUS bill, which is where the funding all comes from for things like levees and locks and dams and ports and all of that, which is on a 2-year cycle. We felt like we just got one done, and we're going into this one. So we're working on that type of thing. Besides the fact of dealing with all the issues that are going on the world right now, world stage, you know, I mean, everything from what happened, historic thing in Israel earlier this week, you know, and then watching the Korea stuff go on. But that doesn't stop us from continuing to do our work, which is really where we've got to move forward with this farm bill. And get that straightened out.
You know, one of the interesting things I find about the farm bill, since I was just talking about farmers here today, you know, they're worried about, of course, the tariff reactions, and mm-hmm. corn and China and things along that line. But when you talk about the farm bill, you think about a guy on the back of a tractor and a farm in the big red barn. But really, when you look at the farm bill, when it looks at us from a percentage standpoint, it's about food stamps.
50%. 50% of it is about SNAP, which is food stamps. And the thing is that we are pushing forward, which is really wild to watch the people who say, oh, I don't think that's a good idea. But let me tell you what we're trying to do in this bill, and I hope that the Senate then picks it up, and we heard rumors they may not. But the most important thing we're looking for is first off, let me say, no one is being removed from food stamps, okay? However, if you are between the ages of 18 and 59 years old, you are not physically or mentally disabled. You do not have children under 6 years old. You are not pregnant. If you are an able body and can work adult, to receive the program, it requires you to do one of two things. One, either work 20 hours a week somewhere in an approved program, or go and continue to receive education so that you can receive a job where the people are needing those people to be employed. Right now, after we've done the tax bill, what we're getting when we go out and talk throughout the districts and throughout the nation is we have all kinds of employers saying we're expanding, but we can't get employees.
Right.
And so we're wanting to fill that gap and say, okay, work for 20 hours, work this. That's not asking too much, as these programs are very essential and they're there to help. This allows you to truly work your way off of the program. The program was never meant to be a generational thing. It is something that if you are able to work, this is to give you a hand up until you can do that. But it has our process by what we're putting in place makes it to where it can allow you to not instantly have a rug pulled out from underneath you, but you can get up to a status that you are then working at a level, at a place where you have a job to go to, and that job is then providing for your family, and then you can take the pride in that ability to be away from those programs and be self-sufficient. And it's amazing the amount of people who argue, oh, you're cutting the program. No, we're not cutting the program. We're making and working to get people back to work and get our economy moving even faster than it is right now. Because it's the first time in a long time. We've got more people out there wanting jobs or needing people to be employed, and they're having trouble finding them. This encourages them to go out and take those jobs.
6.6 million open jobs, according to the U.S. Department of Labor, the highest number since they started keeping record on that specific fact since 2000.
Correct. And then you look at the numbers as far as unemployment rates. They're down. They're down. More people, more African Americans working than ever. As far as their unemployment rate is low, and it's the lowest it's ever been since we've kept record. More Hispanic, lower than ever been since we kept record. But the overall job rate, I mean, people are working again. That's important. But if you want the economy to grow, those that still aren't working, you've got to make sure that we get them the right education to get them into the workforces. So it isn't just any job is good. but wanting to put them in the best job they can possibly get, that so they can make the best wages they can possibly make and support their family the best they possibly can.
All right. Hey, Mike, I got a note from one of our listeners this morning since we're talking about agriculture. Note says, can you mention this to Mike this morning? Just called Congressman Bost at his Washington office. Ask him to please say no to the BLA, Bureau of Land Management's wild horses plan for 2019. And went on to say, the guy that answered the phone at your office was very nice. It was very nice. It's just that easy. Please call if you're in his district. And if you're out of his district, please call your congressman. The BLM horse plan. Here we are with one of our listeners asking you to support,
fantastic,
not support that plan.
Okay. And we'll look into it and find out exactly all the details on the program. And, you know, these are things a lot of people, they get the chance to study, because that is, though it's part of agriculture, that one isn't part of the Farm Bill, I don't believe, but we'll look into it, but that's that communication thing. If you want, call the office. We've got staff there available, and the word will get to me.
And they are nice, by the way. His staff, Mike, without Mike, came to visit me last year, and we spent quite a lot of time together, and I think they were only mildly shocked after they left. I know George is going, who is this guy? Hey, I read an article last week out of St. Louis. I think it was maybe the Belleville News Democrat, and the headline was, Steel Tariffs Backfire on Bost.
Yeah, no, that was actually the St. Louis Post-Dispatch.
Oh, yeah, St. Louis, okay.
And here's the problem that they didn't understand. They said that the steel tariffs backfired. No, the steel tariffs that put the people back to work was the 232, which was for the Homeland Security purposes. Well, as soon as those were implemented, nothing was done against the agricultural industry. What happened is, after that, they went after the 191 or 192. I'm trying to remember the exact number. And this one was where we went after China for, where the president went after China for the property, the intellectual property,
right?
And
videos and movies.
And when he did that, I guess China felt they needed to respond. Let me tell you who they did respond to. They responded. They claimed that they were going to put a tariff on soybeans, which, if you make a claim, it affects the market. They never put that tariff on and have not put it on yet. However, what they did do, they did put a tariff on hogs, which was very expensive to our hog producers, and that is what we're, but when we're talking about it, when we talk to our farmers and we sit down with them, and believe me, I'm with them all the time and working on these issues side by side with them. You know, we try to explain this as well as we're moving through, but the reality is everyone agrees that China is cheating, and China, it is not a fair trade deal with China. It is very unfair, and just saying free trade is not enough. We need to make sure that we have some specific guidelines. Now, getting the right deal is not always going to make every day comfortable, because for a long time, people thought, well, that's just the way it is. We're going to lose on those. Well, no, you're not. No, everybody can have a fair shot at
Mike,
being able to sell their goods.
You just hit that. Yeah. You just hit that sentence. That's the thing that gets glossed over, I believe. And this is one of the reasons why I think President Trump's favorability number is higher. We were told that when things during the Obama administration, this is the new normal. Jobs are going to leave this country. We can't keep them. We're going to continue on this path downward. I mean, it was literally, and people, I think, become accustomed to hearing that. The new normal, which was not good. And then suddenly we find out if you've got a spine, if you negotiate from a position of strength, that you don't have the outcomes that we've been seeing from a bunch of wussies who've said that we have to roll over for every Tom, Dick, and Harry in this world. It's really kind of discouraging, because there's a morale issue that is a subtext to that. And I think you just hit it, that's what we have to do. No.
And it's not what we have to do. And, you know, a few weeks ago, whenever we were doing the 232 and they were first talking about it, Greta Van Sutton has she's no longer on Fox, but she has her own she's on another network. I actually went and did an interview with her right after Wilbur Ross, the Secretary of Commerce. it was actually explained our situation and everything like that on the European, not only European front, but on trade front as a whole. Not only are we trying to deal with China and bringing things straight in line, even though our allies and the good people that we've traded with over the years, think about this, Tom, and I want the listeners to understand this. When Wilbur Ross talked about this, and then I spoke right after him and actually didn't know I was going to debate, but I debated an economist from Europe, okay, on this issue. And basically, what the situation is that right now, if we send something to either Western or Eastern European countries, we have a tariff that's placed on us, any whatever the product is, it might be 12 to 20% or more, okay? But any of those products coming back to the United States from those countries, there's a 2% tariff on. Now, why is that? Well, it was done, the United States did that right after the Second World War. Why? Because Europe needed to rebuild. They were, hey, they'd been bombed. They would come off two wars. They were just destroyed. Their economies were terrible.
Right.
I don't know if you know it or not. They're fixed now.
Yeah. And it's interesting
and it's,
because...
And it's time we get even. And I don't mean that get even in a fight or anything like that.
Fair.
I want just fair trade.
Right. And it's interesting because once you look into this Eurobus and the money that Europe used to stabilize and prop up their companies, you get to see that on a microcosm level when it's actually widespread. Speaking of travel, you know, Paul Schimpf is pretty excited about this Southwest Corridor. I spoke with Senator Schimpf last week. Will there be some assistance because this is your district, man. This is right. and federal transportation dollars and all this. You're going to get involved here, Mike, or are we already there?
Yeah, I'm already involved. I have attended in person one meeting. I have attended a majority of the meetings by phone to let them know what we're doing with the infrastructure bill, how we're trying to move forward with that. Is that something we can use? We're trying to make sure that it is and something that we can wisely put in place. This isn't a new theory. You know, the bad thing is that you understand that originally that corridor that we're talking about was the I-24 connection to the loop around St. Louis. It was removed in the 1950s out of the plan. So then Ken Gray ran on it all the time. He's going to get it put back in.
Right.
I actually served on a committee as a county board member back in the 80s that, which is really wild, I was assigned by Jackson County, a guy out of Randolph County that was a young county board member. His name was Dan Wright. He was then assigned, and we worked on what was known as SWIFT, the Southwest Interstate Freeway Tollway, because we were looking for a tollway. When we did the study, we got IDOT to come back, and unfortunately what they said was, well, there's not enough industry along the route to justify it. Well, that's kind of like the chicken and the egg. We said, you know, if you put the route in place, there will become the industry along the route.
Right.
So we argued that back and forth. But instead, what this group is now looking at after this many years is, how do we piecemeal? And we are already piecemealing along that route anyway. If you go come down to about Waterloo, there we're headed that way. If you go north out of Murfreesboro, you've got a four-lane up till there. So the idea is to try to put that all together and make the investment from the local, state, and federal dollars to make sure we make that connection, because the traffic flow, that is the best way that we can get even more industry in, is to make sure the corridor is open.
Yeah. Mike, before I let you go today, I did take some time out of my schedule to watch your in-general speeches. I believe it was a little over a minute, and I saw this video from C-SPAN where you brought up a mutual friend of ours and wrote and read him into the congressional record, Martin Twinhoffel.
Yes. Yeah, Martin and I were, the Twinhoffel family and the Boss family have been friends for years and years and years. You know, I would hate to think about how many tons of lime my grandfather, my father and I have spread on their fields. But not only that, remember Martin worked tirelessly in his lifetime on the Port Authority boards and other boards because he knew being active in his community. However, he also wrote a very neat, and it's a good read, about the story of his life in the military. Right. And I would advise people to pick that up. He's truly going to be missed. He's got a great family still in the area that are just following on his family tradition of being public servants and being involved in our communities.
Yeah. I met him at the barbecue festival while he was sitting there with his wife.
He was always there.
About 20 years ago, 21 years ago, I meet he and his wife, and they're selling the T-shirts,
yep.
And then I become friends with them, and I realize I'm meeting some of the nicest people that have ever walked this earth.
Yeah, they're great people.
They were,
you know, he truly was one of those that were part of the great generation.
Yeah.
You know, and young men that were sent over, and remember with my committee, I have to... I am privileged to serve on making sure those memorials are all kept and everything like that, and
right.
We can go into that at another time. But that's when I realized, you know, these young men and women and what they did, folks, if they hadn't did what they did at that time to stand up and stand in the gap for the rest of us,
yep.
We wouldn't have the great benefits that we have today in this nation.
Matter of fact, I just got a message from the Twinhoffel family who said, thanks, Tom and Mike. Right.
Well, we mean it. It's not something
yeah.
that we know who they are.
I could only it would be so nice to be able to be as nice as him. He set quite a standard, and
yes,
and always smiled, and really miss him. 8:40, 20 before the hour, Congressman Mike Boss. Looking forward. Before I let you go, we got about 30-40 seconds here, Mike. As you look into the week and you look into the week after, what are you seeing on the horizon that we need to know about back home?
Like I said, the agricultural people need to know about the Farm Bill. Watch it. It's going to go over to the Senate. I'm sure it's not going to be the same as what, because that's what happens over there. And look forward to the fact that we're going to be trying to figure out still work on the infrastructure bill.